Begin the current davin, Sechtes Megillah Dav Zayin. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with another teaching from Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, actually continuing the theme of his previous halacha, which the Gemara was discussing the machlekes regarding the halacha of a previous Mishnah. When's the primary time of reading the Megillah? Is it Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So one of the interpretations brought a raya that it's Adar Sheni from the word Hashenis. On that, the Gemara has brought that the other mandam holds that the primary is Adar Rishon, says no, the Shenis that was sent out was the second year that they sent out, because originally they made the Betchil Kavu B'Shushan, like Rav Shmuel by Yehuda said, initially they made the Yom Tov of Purim only in Shushan, which was the primary miracle over there, and at the end they made it, they sent out the letter the second time that it should be in the whole world. In a similar vein, Amr of Shmuel by Yehudi says, Shalchulam Esther l'chacham. Esther Malkus sent to the sages in the second year, when they wanted to go ahead and establish as an obligation for the Yom Tov of Purim, Kavuni, establish me as a Yom Tov, and to call it after my name, which is the Megillah, is called Megillah Esther, and the Yom Tov is celebrated after Lederis for future generations. I want this to be a Yom Tov, which is a rabbinic Yom Tov, who is not in the Torah. I want this to be established. So Shalchulah, so the sages sent to Esther, Kina at ma'ireret aleinu lebein umas. You're going to cause envy and jealousy amongst us and the nations, because the nations are going to say, oh, we're rejoicing that they had a downfall and that we're celebrating the downfall. So it's not appropriate. So Shalchulah, so Esther sent to them, Kvar kesuvani. I'm already written what happened with us and the nations of the world. Al divrei hayamim lemalchei madai paras, on the chronicles of the kings of Madai and the kingdoms of Paras. And therefore, they can look over there, they'll already see what happened with us and them. And therefore, they know that. And therefore, our celebrating is not going to be causing and inciting that. And therefore, it's appropriate, as they did, to create a Yom Tov of Purim. Now, the Gemara brings that, similarly, that Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yechanan, Rav Chaviva, these four Talmid Chacham, they taught the teaching that we're going to shortly teach, which the Gemara, however, says, although these four are mentioned together for different halachas, but Bekuli Seid Maid, in the whole order of Maid, which Megillah is part of that, Kol Kehai Zuga, whenever we're mentioning this pair of these four sages together, Chaluf Reb Yechon, actually you switch the Reb Yechonon, Uma'al Reb Yenison, and you place instead that it was Reb Yenison, that they taught the following halacha. Shalch Lehem Esther Lechacham, Esther sent to the sages, Kazvuni Lederz, I want you to write me, meaning the miracle of Esther, for future generations. This should be written down as one of the books of Tanakh. So Shalchalei, they sent to her a pasuk of Mishlei. Halakasafti loch shalishim. I have written for you three times, meaning for three places we recall the war of the Jewish people against Amalek, in Sefer Shemais, in Mishneh Torah and Sefer Devarim, and in Sefer Shmuel, which was against Agag. And that's what Shlomo Melech says in this pasuk of Mishlei. Three times you write down this war against Amalek, but you can't do it four times. Shlishim alei revaim, three and not four. So therefore, we already have three times mentioning Haman, who's a descendant of Agag, of Amalek. That would be a fourth time writing now. We're not writing a fourth Sefer. Until they found a source for what she was requesting, which was the Pasuk in the Torah in Shemais. But the first time that they fought against Amalek, it says, write this as a recalling in the scroll. What does this pasuk mean? Kesayv Zeis, when it says to write this down, Mashar Kasav Kan, Obe Mishneh Torah, it refers to what's written over here in Sefer Shemais, and in Sefer Devarim, because whatever's written in the Torah is considered one. So although one's a one parsha, one's another parsha, that's considered one time. Zikarain, when it says recalling, that's the second time, that's Mashar Kasav B'Nevim, that's what's written in the books of the prophets, which is in Sefer Shmuel. But Sefer, in the scroll, is Mashar Kasav B'Megillah, is in Kesuvim, which refers to Tanakh, Torah Nevim Kesuvim, is written in the Megillah of Esther, and therefore that is the source for the third time, which is that they wrote down the story of Purim against Haman, Amalek, in the Megillah of Esther. Says the Gemara, but actually Ketanoi, this pasuk that we're bringing the source for Esther is actually Machlekes Tanoi. When it says in the pasuk, Kesayv Zeis, write this, Mashar Kasav Kan, it's what is written over there in Sefer Shemais, which was the war of Yeshua against Amalek, with Moshe Rabbeinu. Zikaron, recalling, is Mashar Kasav Mishneh Torah, is what's written a second time in Sefer Devar. But Sefer, when it's in the scroll, is Mashar Kasav B'Nevim, it refers to in Sefer Shmuel in the books of the prophets, that's to be Yeshua. Therefore, according to him, there is no source to write down and create a Kedusha of a Sefer of Megillah Sylvester. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Hamadoi, I mean, he says like we just said before, Kesayv Zeis, write this down, is Mashar Kasav Kan Obe Mishneh Torah, it's what's written over here in Shemais and in Sefer Devar, which is once considered one of being in the Torah. Zikaron, recalling, is Masha Kazim Nevim, it's written in the prophets in the Sefer Shmuel. And Basef in the scroll is Masha Kazim Megillah, so it's written in Ksuvim, in that of the Megillah of Esther. Continuing a related theme, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul says, Esther, the scroll of Esther, someone has that Sefer, it does not contaminate a person's hands like other Sifrei Tanakh. What the Gemara says in Shabbos, Abidal Medalef, there was a concern because they said, okay, a scroll is holy, Truma is holy, they would keep it together. The problem is that the animal started coming for the food of Truma and thus destroying and ruining this Sfarim. So they made a Gezerah that actually the scrolls is Metame the Yadayim. Thus, person won't have that next to the Truma because he doesn't want to make the Truma tummy, so then people weren't keeping it together. So that says Shmuel, that Megillas Esther does not have that halacha being mitame the Yadayim, because obviously it does not have the Gedusha of a Sefer. So says the Gemara, remember the Sabbath Shmuel, does that say that Shmuel holds Esther la Baruch HaKadosh Nemer, that the scroll of Esther was not written with holy divine inspiration? Because he's saying it's not one of the 24 Sifri Tanakh, it does not have that Kedusha, and if it's not mitame the Yadayim, well, if it was written with Ruach HaKadosh, divine inspiration, then obviously it would have being encoded in the Sifrei Tanakh. And he says that it's not Metame. But that says the Gemara, but Vamer Shmuel said, Esther Baruch HaKadosh, and he says, the Sefer Vest was written with divine inspiration. So then why isn't it one of the Sifrei Tanakh to be Metame Sridayim? Says the Gemara, yes, Nemra, it was said with Ruach HaKadosh, licorice, to recite it. But V'lei Nemra Lichsev, it wasn't said with Ruach HaKadosh to have it written down. Written down is another thing. Whatever you think doesn't mean you have to say. Whatever you say doesn't mean you have to write. It's a different element. And therefore, although it's with Ruach HaKadosh to be recited, that doesn't give it a sanctity of a scroll itself, and there it's not going to be Tamei Zedayim. However, Mesev, the Gemara asks from the following brisa that seems to indicate that everyone holds Megillas Esther is Metame the Yadayim. The brisa says, the first opinion of Meirim, he says, when we're talking about the different Megillos, different types of scrolls which are part of Ksuvim, so Meirim says, Kehelis, the Sefer of Kehelis, that does not contaminate a person's hands when he touches it, which doesn't give it kedushas of a sefer. And he says, it's a dispute regarding the book of Shir Hashim, the Song of Songs, between Bisham and Basil, if that does have kedushas sefer or not, to be metames yidayim. Second opinion, Rabbi Yisim, he says, Shir Hashim metames yidayim. He says, no, for sure, the Shir Hashim is a sefer of Tanakh, and it contaminates one's hands. But it's a dispute regarding kelis, because that was just the wisdom of Shlema, as we'll see later on, or potentially, and therefore, that's the dispute, is that does that Kedusha safe or not? Rabbi Shimon, he says, Kaheles mikuli bishamim mechum bisil. This is Kaheles, from the leniencies of Bishamim, that they hold it doesn't have Kedusha safer, and Bisil is stringent and hold it does have Kedusha safer. Of a Rus, but the book, the Megillah of Rus. Bishir Shirim, the Esther mitaman esidaim, it contaminates the hands. So no one else mentions that it doesn't. And he says Esther, and he says it's Metames Yidayim. But that contradicts the Halacha of Shmuel that says it's not Metames Yidayim. Says the Gemara, who dam like Rabbi Yeshua? Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yeshua that we mentioned before. That he interpreted the Pasuk, Zayf Zayz Zikaron Basefer. He says, Zayz means what's written in the Torah, in Shemais. Zikaron is what's written in Mishnah Torah, in Sefer Devarim. And Basefer means what's written in Nevim, in Sefer Shmuel. But there is no source for that which should be written in the Megillah. And that was not given to be written. It was given to be said orally and to recite it. But that doesn't give it a sanctity of what's written, and therefore he also could be sure that therefore it's not Metame Sedayim. Now continuing on this theme of the previous Brisa, Tanya Litna Brisa, Shimon Nasuim, he says, Kehelis in a Metame Sedayim, like one of the opinions we brought before, the Sefer of Kehelis does not contaminate the hands. It's just the wisdom of Shlomo. Shlomo had, he was a smart man, and it was his advice to people in the world. Don't waste your time on foolish things and regarding many different pieces of advice, but it doesn't have that as the Kedusha of the Sefer. That Amaloy, but the sages said to Reb Shimon Manasseh in dispute, they said, what? V'chi zubul v'ad omar? If it's just the sage advice of Shlomo HaMelech, you think only this, what's written in Kehelis, is what Shlomo HaMelech said? But the pasuk already tells us Malachim Aleph, "Vidabesh Shleishes Halacha Mashal," that he spoke 3,000 parables, and since all of them weren't written down, obviously what he did write down is because that was with divine inspiration. So therefore, it does have kedusha sefer. Vayimer, moreover, there says a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Al Taisiv Al Devarv," don't add on to his words, which means to say that whatever he wrote, including Sefer Kehelis, you can't add on. So says the Gemara, "My Vayimer," what do we learn here from this pasuk of in Mishlei? So, says the Gemara, because v'chitem, if you're going to say that you're right, meimer tuva amar, You're saying that, oh, what he said, 3,000 mashalim, why are they all not written down? Because he said many smart things. Dibai, if he wanted to, ichtav, he could have written it down. With the ibai, if he wanted, lo ichtav, he didn't have to write it down. But maybe whatever he did write down are just parables of his and not from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Toshma, that's where you have to bring the second source. Al teisav al devarv, don't add on to his words. From the fact that we're saying it's prohibited to add on to his words, why? Just add on more sage advice. Because obviously it was given with divine inspiration, and therefore they dispute him and they hold that no, Koheles does have Kedushas of a Sefer, of Megillas Koheles, that which is from divine inspiration from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Tanya Litt in the Braisa, again, considering the thing we mentioned before regarding, which we said there's two elements, like Shmuel, he held that Esther was given with Ruach HaKadosh, it's just that he held that it wasn't given Kedusha Sefer, where there are those who dispute that. But Tanya Litt in the Braisa, he says, Esther Ruach HaKadosh Nemra. We know that Esther, the Sefer, was given with divine inspiration. How do we know this? Because he says, Shenema. There's a pasuk in the Megillah that says, V'yer Muhammad Belibay. Haman said in his heart, meaning what he was thinking to himself. Now, how did those who wrote the Megillah know what he was thinking in his heart? Obviously, because with divine inspiration was revealed to them what Haman was thinking in his heart. Bekiva me brings a different source. He says, Esther Bruch HaKadosh Nemra. How do we know it was given with divine inspiration? Shlema, because the pasuk says, V'tihi Esther noises chen be'inikol re'eha. That Esther found favor in all those who saw her. How do they know how people found, how people were thinking towards her and feeling towards her? Obviously, with Bruch HaKadosh. Remeir Amir says, Esther Bruch HaKadosh Nemra Shlema, because he brings this pasuk that says in the Megillah, V'yivada ha'dava l'mardachai. That it was revealed to Mardachai what it was that they were plotting to do to the Achashverosh, and he went and told Esther, who told the king, and therefore that the king was saved, and therefore that was part of the miracle of Purim. But who revealed to Mordechai what people were plotting to do against the king? Obviously that there was divine inspiration on him, which the Mefarshim explained that you see there's that element in the Megillah of Esther. Rabbi Yisrael ben Demaskis, he brings a different source. Esther Bruch HaKadosh Nemra. Shnemak says a pasuk in the Megillah, it says, all the way at the end when the Jewish people took revenge on their enemies, it says, Uvav Biza Lo Yishalchu Yadim. But in the spoils from their enemies, their monies, the Jewish people didn't even touch. Now, how did those who wrote the Megillah know what was in the other end of the world? Because the plans of Achashverosh took up the whole world. Obviously, they knew with divine inspiration that no Jew touched the spoils of their enemies. Now, Amar Shmuel, and that Shmuel says, who we quoted him before, that he holds that it was said with Ruach HaKadosh, says, Ihav Yehassim, had I been there with the earlier opinions that's in the Braisa that was talking about how we know it's with Ruach HaKadosh, and Shmuel was later, was in Amayra, says, Havimina Milsa Dadifim Mekul, he says, I would have said something better than all these Tanoim. Shnemak says in the Pasuk, it says, at the end, Kimu Vekiblu, they confirmed and they accepted. What does that mean? What's Kimu Vekiblu? Just say that the Jewish people accepted again all the obligations of a Jewish person. It means Kimu Lamalo, they confirmed up above in Shemayim, Mashakib Lamato, what the Jewish people accepted here on the land below. Now, how do they know what's going on in Shemayim? Obviously, Baruch HaKadosh Nem. On that Amar Rav, he says, Lekulu Islu Pirchu, he says, yes, actually, all the opinions of the Tanoim have a refutation. Labar Medishmo, Deles Lepirchu, except for the interpretation of Shmuel, that doesn't have a refutation. It's obviously Baruch HaKadosh Nem. And explains why all the other opinions can be refuted. Says Reb Eliezer, who he says that obviously it was Ruach HaKadosh because it says V'yim Muhammad Balibay, that when Achashverosh was asking what should we do to someone that we have to honor, with the honor of the king, that Haman said in the heart, who else does Achashverosh want to honor but myself? Says Rava Svaruhu, it's logical that we know Haman was thinking this in his heart. There was no one else as distinguished and honorable and to the king as Haman. Haman was the biggest in regards to Achashverosh. So this that he's talking big and he says, yeah, the one you want to honor has got to be wearing the king's clothing, going the king's horse and so on and so forth. Obviously, obviously he was talking about himself. So that's how we knew that was going on in his heart. But you don't need divine inspiration to know that. So therefore, that's not a proof that it was Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. Regarding the Rebbe Kiva, that he says that Esther found favor in everyone's eyes, that's not an obvious. That's not a proof that it's Baruch HaKadosh. The Mekreb Elazar, Dama that he says, "Malamich kolechet ve'echad ninmas alai kumasai." That's because every single person, Esther appeared to them as what's called in Yiddish a lansman, as someone that's from their country. So everyone verbally said, "Oh, she's ours. She's from this country. She's from this from our country." And therefore, that's how we knew. Not because we had divine inspiration, because everyone was saying, wow, there's Esther. So since everyone was verbally saying it, that's how they knew. But it's not a proof that it was with divine inspiration. So to V'hadra Meir, that he says, V'yivada L'Mordechai, that Mordechai found out that they wanted to kill the king. How do you know? Obviously, with divine inspiration. Says Rava, no. Dama that he says, the Gemara brings later on the Perek, that from Bigs and Viserish, where these were two soldiers, that Shnei Tassim Hayu, they were from Tarshish, and they wanted to go ahead and they were the ones plotting to kill the king. And Mordechai knew all the 70 languages, and he overheard them, and that's how he knew. But not because Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. And Vahad Rabbi Yisrael ben Damascus, that he says that, oh, the Jewish people didn't touch the spoils anywhere in the other end of the world. How did the Kaisvei Megillah know this? Obviously, with Ruach HaKodesh. He says, no. Demapristikishadr. Maybe they send messengers from the Jewish people from all around the world to Mordechai and Esther to say that we didn't touch, that the king shouldn't be upset, that we killed the enemies, to show that it wasn't anything of any selfishness. It was just self-defense. They didn't touch the monies. And there was not a proof that they knew it with Ruach HaKodesh. But the Shmuel, that he says, Kimu Bekiblu, that they were Makayim Lamala, what the Jewish people were Makaba Lamata, Vadi Les Lepircha. Obviously, it's no refutation. If you know what's going on in heaven, that must be with divine inspiration. This Amar Avinu says, Hainu Damar Inchi, this is what people say. Tavachada Pilpolta Charifta. Sometimes it's better, it's more effective, a sharp pepper, which is a very small ball, Mimoli Tzanikar from a basket full of melons, of pumpkins, of gourds, meaning you could have something big, which is what Tanoim are, they're much bigger than the Amor that's small, but something very sharp like Shmuel could be more effective than this large basket of these pumpkins, which they didn't, their interpretations have flaws in contrast to that of Shmuel. He brings a pasuk in Megillah to prove that Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. It says, "V'meha Purim Elo lo yaver metecha Yehudim." That these days of Purim will never be taken away from the Jewish people. How does he know the future? Obviously, with Baruch HaKadosh. Rav Nachman Bayitzchak Mahochi says similarly. The pasuk says, "V'zichem lo Yosef Mizarim," that their memory will not be taken away from their children. Which Tosafot points out the reason why he brings this part of the pasuk is because the beginning of the part of the pasuk that says that it will never be taken away from the Jewish people, that could possibly be only for that generation. This part says Mizarim from even their descendants. That's more of a proof of knowing the future, and therefore that Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halach of a Mishnah that we said that although there's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, but regarding the reading of Megillah, and as the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Matanis Lavyainim, giving gifts to the poor, both those have to be specifically in Adar Sheni, in the second Adar, when there's a leap year. So Tanur of Yosef, he says, continuing on this halacha of Mishloach Manas and Matanis Lavyainim, the pasuk says, in the safe of Megillah Esther, Mishloach Manas, and this is part of the mitzvah of Purim, sending portions, Ishlari Eyu, a man to his friend, which manis are different types of delicacies. So it says manis in the plural, and lori'eyu to his friend in the singular. That tells us, shtei manis, two gifts, le'ish echad, to one person. That is, umishleich manis, plural, lori'eyu, two gifts to one person. That's the obligation of mishleich manis. Now when it says umatanis levyoinim, and gifts to the poor, levyoinim is in the plural, is also matanis, is shtei matanis, two gifts, l'shnei b'nei adam, to two people, meaning, For each, you have to give to two poor people, but each poor person, you can give one gift. Two gifts for two people, that gets divided amongst two gifts. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this obligation of Mishloach Manos, and possibly Matanos Lavyoinim, that Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, Shoda Leila Rabbi Yoshia, he sent to Rabbi Yoshia, Atma de Igla Talsa, a thigh of a third-born calf, which is a delicacy, Begarba de Chamer, and a flask of wine, and Shalach Lei, so he sent back to him a message, as we continue to base, Kayam to Banu Rabbeinu, the Master has fulfilled with us what you gave me. What the pasuk says in the Megillah, Umishloach Manos Ishlar Eyu, sending gifts, a man to his friend, because you gave me two gifts, that thigh, that piece of meat, and the flask of wine. And some Girsois have a Matanis Lavyainim, and gives to the poor, which is because he was a poor person, so that thus also fulfilling Matanis Lavyainim. But then the Vilna Gaon and says also it's obvious from Rashi to take out that gear. So that it was told by that you fill Mishloach Manos, which is that you have to give two gifts to one person. Now continuing on Mishloach Manos, the Gemara brings that Rabba Shadu Le Lamori Barmar Bidei Abaya. Rabba sent through a messenger that is Abaya, as is the custom to send with a shleich, an agent. He sent to Mori Barmar Malay Taska the Kashba. So he sent two gifts, as we said. He sent a sack full of dates, and a cup full of kimcha dev shayna, which is wheat that was dried out in the oven when it's still moist, which then that makes very sweet flour. And he sent them those two gifts. Samuel Abayas said to Rabba, Bahashta Amma Mari, now Mori's going to say regarding you, Icha kla malkalahava. If a villager becomes a king, the kula mitzavri le nachas, he's not going to take off the basket from his neck, Meaning, the basket that he always had on his neck as a villager to feed his animals, he's not going to take off from his head now that he becomes a king. So to you, you became a king in the Rosh Hashiva in Pumadisa, and now you're only sending him common things like a common man, like a villager. Why are you sending him these baskets full of, he's going to say you're sending these baskets full of dates and just and this wheat kernels. Now, Hadashadur le'ihu, so now Abaye went to Mori, and then Mori sent back to Rabbah, Malay taska de zangvila, a basket full of ginger, umalay kasa de bepolta arichta, and a cup full of long pepper, the sharp pepper. So Abaye, now Abaye told him to Mori, says Hashda Amamar. Now the master Rabbah, he's going to say, Anos shadri lechulya, I sent to Mori something sweet, just these dates and these and that sweet flour. And he's sending me sharp stuff, ginger and hot pepper. Now, continue on this theme, Amabai says regarding this that he went back and forth between these two Tamid Chacham, and also regarding this of something being sweet. Says Kinafik mi beimar, when I left the house of the master, that of Rabbah, to go to Mor Bar Mar, says Havasavana, I was satisfied, I wasn't hungry. Kimatil Hasam, when I reached to Mari's house, Karivali Sheet and Soy, they put out for me 60 platters. The sheet and minikadere of 60 types of pots of meat. The achlibu sheet and plug and they ate 60 pieces. Ubishula best rice and the last cooked piece have a correlates leak kader. They called it pot roast. Uboyla meches saw a basra and I wanted to even eat up the plate itself after that. The reason why I use the word echasia because something that's not the normal way of eating, like eating a plate, is called kaisis. He wanted to chew up the plate even. Now, Amabaye, he says, this is what people say, kafen anya b'lo yada. The poor are hungry and they don't even know it. Meaning, I was satisfied from Rabbah, but I didn't even know how much capacity I had when they saw delicious food. I ate so much because obviously I was hungry. Or inami, another interpretation of what that means from this story is that ravcha lebesim eshchiach, that there is space in the stomach that's left over for something sweet. So although he really was full, it's not like he just didn't know, but when you get something delicious, then suddenly the stomach finds the room that it has to eat something sweet, which is that custom of having dessert at the end of the meal, that there is room left in the stomach for something sweet. Now, the Gemara tells that Abaye Barovin, Reb Chanina Barovin, Mechalfi Sudusayu Lahadadi, they would send their meals to each other, meaning they would eat with each other on Purim. One year one would eat with the other, with his brother, and one year he went to the other one. And some say that actually this is the source of the Mishleich Manis, where he could fulfill his halacha of Mishleich Manis by sending his meal to him, which some say that's actually the obligation of Mishleich Manis to give meal types of things. But they would switch off their meals. They couldn't afford Mishleich Manis, so he would bring his meal to him and he would eat by him. And one year he would go out and bring his meal to him and eat by him. Now, Amar Ava says, Mechayiv inish lebesumi beperaya. A person is obligated to become intoxicated with wine on Purim, ad lo yad, until he doesn't know to differentiate bin ar haman lebarach Mordechai, between haman being cursed and Mordechai being blessed, which is taste being from the Yerushalmi, as known from the song of Shoshanas Yaakov. The same thing applies to know that Zeresh, the wife of Haman, is cursed, and Esther Malka is blessed, and all the wicked are cursed, and all the Jewish people are blessed. Now, the Gemara brings a story regarding this obligation of becoming intoxicated, which some of Farshim bring that this is actually the source of that we don't paskin like that halacha. The Rabbi of Reb Zera of the Suda's Purim had the Adadi. Rabbi and Reb Zera, they made the Purim Suda together, which, as some interpret actually, the previous Gemara of Abaye Barov and Reb Chanina Barov, that they switched their Suda's one with the other, meaning they ate with each other. That's the element of Purim, that people are supposed to eat their Suda's with the other, not eating by themselves. So they ate their Purim Suda's together, and the Yivasim, and they became intoxicated, they became drunk. Come Rabbah, shachtel Reb Zera. So Rabbah got up and he slaughtered Reb Zera, known as manslaughter. He killed Reb Zera. Now, lamachur b'yirachem v'achi. So the next day, he beseeched mercy and he brought him back to life. L'shana amalei. So the next year, again, he said to him, okay, nisi marvet navet sudis perm b'hadadiyah. He wanted to confirm there that they're eating the sudis perm together. Amalei said to him, no, loy b'chol shaita b'shaita m'srachash nisa. Reb Zera said to him, not every single time does there occur a miracle. I'm not doing this again, that in case you kill, and that to have such a situation again. Now, Amar Rava, he says, sudas perm sh'achla b'layla, if someone eats the perm suda at night time, loyotze dechevasa, he's not fulfilled his obligation. Night time, what's the reason? Yemei mishta b'simchiksev, it says, the days of festivities and rejoicing, it says, has to be during the day and not at night time. The Gemara actually brings a story related to this, that Rav Ashi Abba Yosef came to Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi was in front of Rav Kahana, and no Gavul Yosef Rabban. It was getting late, and the rabbis didn't come yet. Late in the day of Purim, they didn't come to the base of Medrash to come learn. So Malaysa said to him, "My time Yosef Rabban, why are the rabbis not coming?" So he says, "Dimotri the Besuda Purim." Says maybe they're preoccupied with the Purim Suda. So Malaysa said to him, "Couldn't they have eaten last night? What's this middle of the afternoon in Purim? Why are people not coming to the base of Medrash? Why are they eating the Purim Suda now? Let them have eaten last night. It's still Purim." So Malaysa said to him, "Lishmili lamar hadamer Rava. Didn't the master hear of the teaching of Rava that we just quoted? That Suda's Purim shachal b'layla liyatzadecha vasa. If someone eats the Purim Suda at nighttime, he's not fulfilled his obligation." So Amalei said to him, Amar Rava, did Rava really say this? Amalei, and he says yes. So Tanimene Arban Zimna, he learned of him 40 times. But Damalei Kamad Demanach Bekis, and it was compared to him like as if it was placed in his pocket, which is two types of Torah. This Torah that one has in the bank, and this Torah someone has in his pocket that he has. He was able to access it easily. He's like, wow, okay, I got this now. That this is that, the Suda's Purim has to be during the daytime, and it cannot be during the nighttime. Continue with the next Mishnah and the following Mishnahis are all on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which comes in because we mentioned that there's no difference between Ad Rishon and Ad Sheni, except for that of Mikra Megillah and Matan Slavyanim. So now the following Mishnahis have the same theme of Ein Bein, which our Mishnah says, Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos. There is nothing in Halacha that's different between Yom Tov, a holiday, and Shabbos, meaning to say that what's initially permitted to be done on Yom Tov, that what's Asr and Shabbos is no difference, besides one exception, but that's regarding what's initially permitted. But regarding the penalties, then there are differences. Because on Shabbos, if one violates Shabbos, one gets skila and karas. Whereas Yom Tov, it's just a negative prohibition. But we're talking about there's no difference initially what you could do, elo eichel nefesh balvad, except regarding doing malacha for food, for eating purposes, which is permitted on Yom Tov, but forbidden on Shabbos. So the Gemara makes an inference. But regarding preparing things that can then be used for food items, let's say fixing a knife, which then you can use that for Eichel Nefesh, that regarding that, Zev Zeh Shavim, that both Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same, that it's forbidden just on Yom Tov, just like it is on Shabbos, says the Gemara, Masnit, like Rabbi Yehuda, and obviously our mission is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Tanya learned the Braisa that says, Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos, Eilo Eichel Nefesh. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, but rather this that's used directly in regards to the preparation of food, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to do malachas, all these things, if it's for Eichel Nefesh, that's like the Tanya of our mission. But Rabbi Yehuda Matar Af Machshir Echol Nefesh, and our Mishnah is not like him. He says, no, you could even do malachas for preparing things that could then be used for food items. So says the Gemara, my Tanna Kamma, what's the reason the Tanna Kamma like the halacha of our Mishnah, that only directly to the food item, not to prepare something that could then be used for food items? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, which talks about this halacha of Yom Tov, it says that it's a holy convocation, any malacha you now do on Yom Tov. But says the Pasi, that ach asheya ochel l'chol nefesh, that however which is eaten for every single person, so who that is levadli, only that yoslechem you could do for you. Meaning I'll do malacha on yamta, but what for echel nefesh you're allowed to do? Now who is exclusionary terminology, which says v'loy machshir only for food for echel nefesh, not for that to prepare that which can then be used for echel nefesh, like fixing a mill or whatever it is that you can't do. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Mehi, however, would tell you, no, the Pasuk says that we just quoted, lachem, for you, which means, lachem is l'chol tzachechem, for you means whatever you need to do for Eichel Nefesh, even for Mechshir Eichel Nefesh, is also permitted to be done on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, so v'idach namik siv lachem. So the Tanna Kamma, what does he do? Lachem says for you, which sounds like whatever you need to be done, which would seem to, which is inclusionary terminology, which would seem to include even Mechshir Eichel Nefesh. Says the Gemara, no, he learns when it says lechem for you means not to include whatever you need, but it's an exclusionary, which is v'loyla evdi kechavim, and not for non-Jews, lechem v'loyla klavim, for you and not for dogs. So yeah, you could do eichel nefesh, but only for you and not for non-Jews or dogs. Now, but says the Gemara, v'idach nami hoksev hu. So what does the Behuda do with hu, which is exclusionary terminology, which the Tanna Kamma is saying only for eichel nefesh and not for machshir eichel nefesh? Says the Gemara, "Ksiv hu v'ksiv lachem." He agrees on some level because on the one hand it says hu, which is exclusionary, but it says lachem, which is inclusionary. The way Rabbi Yehuda learns, so he says as follows: He says, "Kan, you're right. Hu that's excluding is b'machshirin she'efesh la'aseisim erev yom tov." It's talking about things that are used for preparing that it was possible to have been done from before yom tov, which is, for example, a knife that was already ruined, that was nicked from before yom tov. Oh. If you could have done it from before Yom Tov, then you're not allowed to do that, machshir echel nefesh, on Yom Tov. And that's what who's coming to exclude. But kam b'mechshirin she'yef shalasisim erev yamtim lachem, that's including even mechshir echal nefesh according to Behuda, is that which could not have been done from erev yamtim, for example, like a knife that got ruined on yamtim itself, that Rebbe Yehuda is saying is permitted to be fixed on yamtim itself, and that he learns up from lachem, and that's the halach of a mishnah, is not like Rebbe Yehuda. We continue with the next mishnah that says on this theme, ein bein Shabbos yom kippurim, there's nothing that's different between the laws of Shabbos and yom kippurim. Ella shazeh zedoyne, rather, but by Shabbos, when one deliberately violates and does a malacha, is b'dei adam. The punishment is by a court where there's mises bezin. The person gets killed by the courts over here. Vezeh zedoyne b'karas, but by yom kippurim, if someone deliberately violates a malacha in yom kippurim, he gets karas, which he gets cut off his life from shemayim, but not by the courts over here. But says the Gemara, makes an inference, makes a diyuk, kol in tashlumim, but it sounds regarding monetary payments. Zeh vezeh shavin, that both Shabbos and yom kippurim are the same. Says the Gemara, mani masnein, who is our Mishnah like? It's Rav Nechunim ben Akanahi. What's this referring to? The time that we learn the Braisa. Rav Nechunim ben Akanahi, hoya oisah yom kippurim k'shabbos l'tashlumim. He made yom kippurim and Shabbos equivalent regarding the exemption of paying monetary payment, which is, ma Shabbos, just like regarding the laws of Shabbos, mischai benafshi upatim ben tashlumim. If let's say somebody on Shabbos, by doing a malacha, he, let's say, lights up someone's produce on fire. So he's doing two things. He's doing monetary law, which is destroying someone's plantation. And additionally, he's doing malacha on Shabbos, lighting fires, doing things which are forbidden. So the halacha is of what's called kimli b'drabine. He only gets the more severe of the two punishments, which is he gets killed for being mechal Shabbos, and therefore he's exempt from the monetary payment. So Reb Nachman the Kana says the same thing is, af yom kippurim, mischai b'nafshi, so to yom kippurim, he's also liable for the death penalty, albeit Bidei Shemayim of Karis, but he equates Karis to be like Mises Bezdin, and therefore Patam and Atashlumen, and therefore he's going to be exempt from a monetary payment. So let's say, as we said, if he lights someone else's pile of produce on Yom Kippurim on fire, that then there's no obligation of payment when there's a death penalty. We know this by the law in the Torah and Shmos Chafal regarding when two men are fighting and by mistake one man goes and knocks a pregnant woman. So the Pasuk says, V'lo ye'asin, if there's no death, then anish anish. Then he's going to be liable for the monetary payment. Which the inference is, but if there is a death, and then the person himself who did the is going to be liable for death, then actually there is no monetary payment. So therefore, that's what we're saying, that the halacha of a mishnah is like Rabbi Nachman ben Akana, who's saying the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippurim is regarding is the misa b'dei adam or b'dei shemayim. But regarding monetary payment, they're the same thing because this halach of kimel raminei is not just in the courts over here. It's even if your death penalty is from Shemayim, you'll still be exempt from the monetary payment. Now, relating back to the halach of a mishnah, the Gemara brings snan hasam. We learned within the mishnah sect Makis that says, kol chiv krisis shalaku, anything which has a liability of karis, which if by doing that prohibition, the Torah gives a punishment of the person's life being cut short. If, let's say, the witnesses who saw him doing this, they warned him that you're violating this negative prohibition, which, although there's a penalty of karis, by getting warned for a negative prohibition, then he can get lashes for that. And then the court actually goes ahead and gives him lashes for what he did. Niftrim in the krisasin, it exempts that person from the penalty of karis. And then Bezin Shalmala, the heavenly court, is not going to exact punishment from this person. They give him karis, because the courts over here already gave him malchus for that negative prohibition. How do we know this? Shnemek says the Pasuk in Devarim says that the person should only get 40 lashes, which the Chazal explained means 39 lashes, but you can't add on more, because maybe if you're going to add on the extra lash, more than what's supposed to be. So the Pasuk says, V'nikla chichalei necha, and your brother's going to be shamed in front of your eyes. You're only allowed to give 39, not more than that. But the Mishnah expounds this Pasuk as follows. V'nikla means kiven shalaka, once he gets lashes and he gets embarrassed, saharehu ka'achicha. So then v'nikla means achicha, then once he gets lashes, he's already like your brother, means to say he's like a regular Jew, and then he's not going to be someone who's chayiv karas. He's put from karas by getting lashes. That's Divrei Chananya ben Gamliel. Now, on that, in Rabbi Yechanan, he says, regarding that Mishnah, he says, chalukun lov chaveir v'al Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. It says, that's the opinion of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, but he says, but the sages disagreed with that opinion regarding that if you chayv karis and you get lashes, that then that exempts you from karis. So on that Amarav, he says, Amir Bei Rav, they said in Yeshiva that yes, Tanina, that halacha that they dispute him is what's taught in the halacha of our Mishnah. Where do we see that in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, Ein Bein Yom Kippur the Shabbos. There's no difference halachically between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Elisha says, in regards to that of doing a malacha, The difference is, only one difference is, on Shabbos, if you do deliberately malacha, you get misa b'dei adam here in the courts, eskila, and if you do it deliberately, but Yom Kippurim, you only get karas. Says Rava, ve'im isa, now if it was so, like the way Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel said, that one is exempt from karas, but getting malchus, then actually, then even Yom Kippurim is the same as Shabbos, even regarding getting the punishment b'dei Adam, because Yom Kippurim, you could get Malchus for violating the negative prohibition of doing Malacha on Yom Kippurim, and then the courts would be exempting him from Karis. So then both are b'dei Adam. Obviously says, that's the source where the Yechon said that the Chaveirav disagreed with Chaveirav and Gamliel is the Halacha of Mishnah, that they hold that no, Yom Kippur is never b'dei Adam, and that's because the Malkus will not exempt him from Efchiv of Karas from doing it. But Meis, to which Amar of Nachman, he says, no, it's not. That's the halacha of our Mishnah is not a proof to that what Rabbi Yechon was saying. I could tell you that actually the colleagues of Rabbi Hanan Gamliel do not disagree with him. Oh, but didn't we say in our Mishnah that B'Yom Kippurim, if he does it deliberately, it's not B'dei Adam? So he says, because Homani Rabbi Yitzchoki, because our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yitzchok. The Omer that he says in Masechtas Malkus, Malkus b'chiv ekrisis leka. He holds that there is no punishment of Malkus that's possible by a negative prohibition that's given over to be warned, not of Malkus, but by being warned of getting Karis. So even if they warn him regarding Malkus, the chiv Karis person like Yom Kippurim is not going to get Malkus. And the reason is, as we're going to quote now, he learns that from a pasuk. But therefore, that's why it's not that the Chacham disagree with him. Yeah, Yom Kippurim is not going to get the B'dei Adam, simply because you don't have over here a possibility, because like Rabbi Yitzchak, of getting Malkus, because it's something that has a Chi of Karas. But could be that the other Chacham do not disagree with Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel, and they hold that yes, if a person would be able to get Malkus, it would exempt him from his Chi of Karas. The Tanakh, Golan, the Brice, that specifically Rabbi Yitzchak Gurman, that he says, Chi of increases those of Arias, of prohibited relationships, that there's a punishment of Karas, B'chlal Hayu. They were already included in the pasuk of Yikir Yud Ches, which writes regarding all arayas, v'nichrasu hanafashas ha'isis. Those who have these forbidden relationships are going to get karas. So v'lama yatzis karas b'chayisin. Then why specifically was it mentioned in Parashat Kedoshim by the prohibited relationship with one's sister, where it says v'ish kikach es ha'chayisin, that it mentions over there karas. Already included all arayas in that other parashat of Yikir Yud Ches. So that's the Rabbi Yitzchak to tell you Ladain the Bakaras to say that yes, only gonna get Karas, that's why he repeats it a second time, Veloy Bamalkus, and that there's not gonna be lashes, even if they warn the person of a violation of lashes. Now, although it also mentions not just an extra time of Karas by one sister, but it also mentions that of Nida, that says Rashi, that's for a different chiddush that says over there regarding the halacha of Hara, that even though one does not do a full act of cohabitation, just initial contact, that's also going to be punishable. But why is it said by Chaysa is to say that it's the only Karas and not Malkus. So that's what Halacha Mishnah is like. But it's not a Raya that the Chachamim, who hold that there is Malkus by Achiv of Karas, would hold that it wouldn't be B'dei Adam. No, maybe they would hold. It's just going to be B'dei. Well, there is no Malkus. And therefore it's going to be B'dei Shemayim, not B'dei Adam. Another interpretation to reject the Raya that Rav was bringing, Rav Hashem says, no, Afilatem Rabbanan. You could even say the Halacha of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yitzchak. It's like the Rabbanan, who they say there is Malkus by something that you could get a punishment of Karas. And even so, you cannot learn out from the Halacha of our Mishnah that the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel. Why not? If they hold Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel, then actually both are B'dei Adam. Because you can get Malkus by Yom Kippurim, that's B'dei Adam, that's going to exempt you from Karas. And that says the Gemara, no, because what the Halacha of our Mishnah is saying is that Zeh, by Shabbos, Iker Zeh Dein B'dei Adam. Its primary punishment, when one does a deliberate Malacha on Shabbos, is B'dei Adam, is through the courts. And by Yom Kippurim, the primary punishment one does deliberately is by getting karas. So what our Mishnah was saying is, Shabbos, the primary stringency of it being done but deliberate is B'dei Adam. The primary punishment by Yom Kippurim is getting karas. Now, you're right. If they warned him, and then they subsequently gave him lashes, so then you're right, it will exempt him from chiv of karas. But the primary punishment is B'dei Shemayim, and therefore it was said, but it's not a raya that they, from our Mishnah, that the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel. It could be they would agree to him, but again, that's just secondary, that's a technicality that it could be done by the other. But again, primarily Yom Kippurim is, when one does B'zadin, is B'dei Shemayim.